It is a Friday morning. It's a Friday morning and a very good morning to you, my dear listener. A very good morning to you, Namibia. So welcome. Welcome to your favorite radio station, your radio, number one talk radio station in the land. And good morning. Wherever you're finding yourself at this morning, in this beautiful land of the brave, or you could be outside of this country as well, outside of this of our border, you're most welcome. Thanks for joining us, and it's always a pleasure to be in your company. It's a Friday morning, the sixth of March. The year is 2026. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every day, every weekdays, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, sparking meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 8. So I will be with you. I'll be in your company until the hour of 10 o'clock when I will be heading over to Tate France around 10 o'clock when he's coming, with Kufa Moshe around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in, for all our program, this morning. So as usual, let's start on with our first segment that's looking on this day in Africa. So good morning, Africa. And you are locked on, you're locked into on this day in Africa. So now let's take a look at the calendar. So today is March the 6th. Let's unpack what happened on this day across our continent. Now, exactly 69 years ago today, in 1957, the world watched as Ghana became the very first sub-Saharan African nation to break the chain of European colonial rule. Now, imagine the scene at the old polo ground in Accra. Thousands of people gathered at midnight, and Kwame Nkrumah stood there and famously declared, "Ghana, our beloved country, is free forever." Let's leave some of those moments, you know, in that night. Let's relive some of those moments in that night, in that old polo ground in Accra.
But today, may I call upon you all that at this great day, let us all remember that nothing in the world can be done unless it's had the purposeful support of God. We have done the battle, and we again rededicate ourselves not only in the struggle to emancipate other territories in Africa. Our independence is meaningless unless it is linked up with total liberation of the African continent. And here.
All right. So why does this matter to us in Namibia? Because Nkrumah did not stop there. He did not stop there. He said, Ghana's independence was meaningless unless it was linked with the total liberation of the entire continent. And that spark in 1957 sent a message all the way down to the Orange River that the era of empire was over. So it was the blueprint for the struggles that followed, including our very own struggle. So closer to home on this day in 1962, a young Nelson Mandela arrived in Morocco. So at the time, he was on a clandestine tour across Africa. He wasn't there for holidays. He was not there going around for holiday. He was there for military training to secure support for the armed struggle. So it is a reminder, and that's a reminder that our liberation wasn't just won in a boardroom. So it was built on a long, dangerous journeys across borders, seeking solidarity from our brother in the north of Africa as well. So not every March 6 was a celebration in 1968 in what was then Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. The minority regime executed three black nationalist fighters. So these were the first execution since their unilateral declaration of independence. And it was done. It was a dark day that sparked international outrage and showed just how far these regimes would go actually to hold on to power. So it also serves as a sober reminder of the higher price paid for the freedom we sometimes, you know, the new generation sometimes take for granted today. If we go even further, back, the Egyptian government opened the inner mummy case, you know, of King Tutankhamun. You know, the King Tutankhamun on this day in 1924. It was a moment that reminded the world that Africa, the African civilization, was grand and sophisticated long before the colonial map. The colonial maps were even drawn. So, and that's our look back at the history on this day in Africa. So these are the stories that made us who we are. So thanks for joining us. Looking at what happened on this day in Africa. All right. So now, today is Friday the 6th, Friday, March the 6th. What is our thought for the day? So let's start with a simple thought today. So, you know, life has a way of testing our patience. You know, we want change quickly in our homes, in our community, in our country. So, but real progress rarely, you know, happens overnight. It comes from small, consistent step taken every single day. Now, history teaches this lesson again and again. Across Africa, many of the freedom we enjoy today did not appear suddenly. They came from years of sacrifice, years of courage, and people who refused to give up on the future. Now, for example, when Ghana finally gained independence on the 6th of March, 1957, under the leadership of Kwame Nkrumah, it was the result of a long struggle for self-governance and determination by ordinary people who believe their country could stand on its own. So here is the thought for today. Never underestimate the power of small steps taken with conviction. Never underestimate the power of small steps taken with conviction. So whether you are building a career, raising a family, or trying to improve your community or your country, progress is often slow. Progress is often slow, sometimes frustrating, but always possible if you keep moving forward. Always possible if you keep moving forward, because the future is not built in one big moment. It is built in the choices we made every single day. So, and this morning on Unpacking the Day, that is exactly what we will do. Take a closer look at the issues shaping our country and our future. So, our thought for the day, never underestimate the power of small steps taken with convictions. All right. So hopefully your choices that you make will definitely reflect that power, you know, to take, you know, things in small step, but with convictions. All right. So welcome. And, this is too much. All right. So welcome. Welcome. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us this point in time, our time is 13 minutes past the hour of 8. All right. So, but what is on our table today? What is on the menu in unpacking the day today? So now, two ladies, two powerful ladies. So one was a former prime minister, of New Zealand, and the other one was a former president of Liberia. So actually warning us that to prevent the new era of mineral competition from replicating the injustice of the past, transparency in government and corporate dealings is an essential and non-negotiable cornerstone. So we're going to look at the pieces that they have written. It's very powerful and very educative. So we're going to look at that and we're going to dissect it. So, and if we have time, so you remember the vision, April 2026 that we're talking about. We're going to come back after this commercial.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. So what we look forward as well, you remember the vision, April 2026, we were just talking about it, that 2 days ago, I think. So now the doctors are raising a serious concern that Namibia's public health system is unprepared for the imminent Vision April 2026 reforms, warning of financial and administrative gaps that could jeopardize patient care. So if we have time, we're going to look at that. And also the stories that make our front page, the beneficial ownership declaration compliance in Namibia remain low. And with only 45.3% of registered entities meeting the legal requirement by the end of 2025. So as you can see, the menu is really, really full. And I want you to unpack all that with me. So your participation will also be part of the show, of course, as you do, as you always do. you know. So you're most welcome to participate as well. So, yeah, when we come back, we get into our first story. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo vengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And I'm glad you are here. So because this morning, we're talking about the world is in a race. All right? The world is in a race. You kind of think, what race? A panic, desperate race. The world is in a panic, a desperate race. Not for oil this time, not for gold, in the old sense. So, but for the minerals that will power the future. And those minerals, we know what that minerals actually are able to do in what is happening in the world right now. So we are talking about lithium. We're talking about cobalt. We're talking about graphite, what do you call it? We're talking about copper. Rare earth elements. So the building block of the, you know, of electric cars, solar panels, digital technologies, artificial intelligence. And we have seen how the artificial intelligence is being used for war propaganda. You have seen, you know, how they create like, a missile has launched and there was this U.S. What is that? The U.S. airplane, trying to dodge the missiles and destroy that. All this was some of the things that you see. A lot of the explosion that you see, some of them are actually, AI created, you know. So, yeah, we see now what AI, artificial intelligence can do and the weapons of tomorrow, developed, from all these minerals. So that actually powering the future. So that's why we said the world is in a race. And here's the thing. One thing that we should know is that Namibia, so we are sitting right on top of a lot of what the world needs. Eh? As we speak right now, we are sitting right on top of a lot of what the world needs. Now, two of the most respected women in a global governance, you know, a former prime minister of New Zealand, who chairs the Global Transparency Body for Mining and Energy, and the Nobel Peace Prize winning former president of Liberia, have written a very powerful piece, a very, very powerful piece, warning the world. So what is the world? Quoting, unless, you know, quote unquote, unless we handle this new mineral rush, you know, this race I'm talking about of lithium, cobalt, graphite, copper, you know. Now, I'm continuing with a quote. Unless we handle this new mineral rush with transparency and accountability, we are going to repeat the very mistakes that have kept Africa poor for generations. So that's coming from two ladies who were, you know, in the highest position in the land. You know, one was a former prime minister of the New Zealand, and the other one was the winning former president of the Nobel Peace Prize winning former president of Liberia. So they are warning us here that this minerals, you know, and this new mineral rush, yeah, because everybody's rushing for that. If, especially for Africa, so if there's no transparency and accountability, we actually going to repeat the same mistakes. So we will be just extracting and leaving us absolutely empty. So let's unpack what they are saying. Let's unpack what they are saying and bring that into our context as well. Right here in Namibia, as I said, we are actually sitting on top of a lot of what the world needs. So we're on the radar. So, yeah. So let me take you back. Not too far back, just far back enough. Okay? Now, think about the DRC. Okay? Think about the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. It sits on a roughly 70% of the world cobalt. Okay? 70% of the world's cobalt. Can you imagine that? Now, the mineral in every smartphone battery, every electric vehicle that is being made. Now, yet the average Congolese citizen remain among the poorest on earth. 70% of the world's cobalt comes out of Congo. As I said, the Congolese citizens remain among the poorest on earth. Entire community have been displaced. You know, children work in mines with their bare hands. Yeah? Children working in the mine, child labors with their bare hands. And the money, the billions that comes out there, it flows out. It flows out. The mystery stays behind. And this is what the two ladies are saying. Unless we handle this new mineral rush with transparency and accountability, we are going to repeat the very mistake that have kept Africa poor for generations. So, think about Nigeria and its oil. Decades of wealth. Decades of oil wealth. And yet, many years of oil wealth, many years. And yet, poverty, instability, environmental disaster in Niger Delta. So the resource was there, or the resource was there. The wealth was not shared. So still the same of this, what the two ladies are saying. So unless we handle these minerals rush with transparency and accountability, we're going to repeat the very same mistake that has kept Africa poor for years. So, and I think even closer to home. Why do we go that far? Think even closer to home. Think about our own fish rot scandal. The biggest corruption scandal in Namibian history. Here we're not talking about minerals now. We are not talking about minerals. We are talking about fish. About fishing quotas. Eh? Fishing quotas, the right to harvest our ocean resources. And what happened? Well, you all know the story. The quotas were allegedly sold, traded, used as a political currency. You know, you're used as a political currency. Fishing companies allegedly paying bribes to government officials. Workers, ordinary Namibians, you know, left unemployed. And that legacy, if you like, that what happened still left a lot of people unemployed. Left a lot of people unemployed. And those, the saga still continue. Okay. And it robbed, you know, it robbed many Namibian, their livelihood. And the money, vanished into private pocket. So the money vanished, disappeared into private pocket. Well, there are those who are paying for that now. So now ask yourself, now ask yourself this. If that happened with fish, if that happened with fish, what could happen with lithium? If that could happen, it's just fish. So what could happen with lithium? Now, the author, the two lady, the author of this article, they put it bluntly, they put it very bluntly, that rhetoric may have changed. So now people, we now say green energy instead of black gold. Okay. Then we talk about black gold, but now we're talking about the green energy. Okay. So we say batteries instead of pipelines, but the risk are exactly the same. So, and you have to take it serious because this is coming from, you know, two ladies that have occupied the highest office in their countries. And they also now in the mining sectors. They are now in the mining. So the other one is a chair. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, who's a chair for the Global Transparency Body for Mining and Energy. So they are in this. Okay. They are right where the action is actually taking, where the action is actually taking place. So now what is at stake here? Okay. What is really at stake here? Some of the numbers they have mentioned in these articles are really struggling, are really staggering. So now, let's look at some of them. So by the year 2040, that's just about 14 years away. Okay. It may sound like it's far. So the time when we're hearing 2030, it sounded very, very, very far. You know, when we were hearing 2030, when we had vision 2030, it sounded really, really, really far. Look at where we are now. So now when we talk about 2040, you know, it looks far, but let's talk about it after this commercial.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. And our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And we are looking at the warning that these two powerful ladies are warning us. So now let's look at some of the numbers, okay? And just to give you a broader understanding of what is really going on. Now, by the year 2040, that's just about 14 years away, the world will need 5 times more lithium than it uses today. They will need 5 times more lithium than it uses today. And demand for graphite and nickel could double. Okay? It could double according to what is in that article. It could double. And cobalt demand could climb by more than 50%. So now you can understand why the world now is actually in a rush for these minerals. And at this point in time, who control the processing of most of these minerals? you'll be surprised. China, for 19 out of 20 minerals the world considers strategic, this one I would consider strategic, the lithium, the cobalt, all these kind of these minerals, China controls an average of 70% of processing. 70% of processing. Now, even if the raw material comes out of Africa, you know, the out of the ground in the DRC or Zambia or Namibia, it goes to China to be processed, refined, turned into something valuable, and sold back to the world at premium. And that is exactly why Western government, the United States of this world, the European Union, and the United Kingdom are now scampering to lock down their own supply chain. So they want to sign deal fast. They are reaching out to mineral-rich countries across Africa, saying, let's make a deal. So it's because they see what actually China is doing, and they want to lock in, you know, lock down their own supply chains because they see where this is going. And Namibia? Namibia is firmly on the radar. We are on the radar. Yeah? So, and you remember that we rank first in Africa. Do you know, we rank first in Africa for mining investment attractiveness. We're the first in Africa for mining investment attractiveness. Why? We have uranium, which is also one thing that's one mineral that is also needed by the world. You know, our Langer Heinrich mine is expected to produce over 5 million pounds of uranium a year by 2026. Well, don't get excited. Don't get excited. Well, your growth, you will get a percentage on your GDP growth. But I don't think that's what we're talking about. 5 million pound, you know, of uranium is yours. So don't get excited. Of course, you will get recognition on your digital, on your GDP numbers and GDP percentage. So, but much of that, you know, Vene, yeah, of course you get your tax revenue, royalties and levies and all that. Yeah. But it's not as much of the owners. Eh? It's not as much of the owners. So when you hear now the five, as you said, when you hear the numbers, that's what I always said. We look at the numbers. When you hear the numbers, you see, oh, Namibia is doing well. That's not for us. That's actually getting out. That's going out. You know? So, and our gold and uranium sectors closed 2025 strongly. The gold was doing very well. And the uranium was doing very well. Even if it's doing very well, well, we got our peace. Yeah. You know? And we have lithium in Erongo. We have diamonds off our coast. Well, diamond hasn't been doing very well anyway, but yeah. We are estimated to be sitting on 17 billion worth of critical mineral reserves. Estimated to be sitting on that. Well, even if we hear these big numbers, as I said, those are not ours. Yeah, I'm definitely echoing President, the former President, Hage Geingob. So they are not ours. Yeah, we're getting a portion of appreciation. Yeah, guys, thank you for keeping this for us. So here is a token of appreciation. But you know, because they have a plan for these things, which we don't. What do you do with it? You won't be able to make the batteries. You don't have the factories. You had,
Eh? So, ni mota ino vene.
So, now, and here's the question, okay? Now, here's my question. Now you have to think, we have this mineral, we have lithium, and we're talking about 17 billion worth of critical mineral reserves. So, when those foreign delegation come knocking now, when they come knocking, and given the warning that we're talking about, given this warning these two ladies are telling us, what kind of deal will we sign? What kind of deal will we sign? And will we, the Namibian people, ever know what is in them? Will we ever know what is in those deals? So, let's talk about. Now, and this is the heart, and this is the heart of the article. So, when I'm asking the secrecy problem, and this is what the ladies are also talking about. So, and remember, these are the two ladies that occupied, you know, the highest office in the land. So one was the Prime Minister of New Zealand. The other one is the former President of Liberia. So, and this is now, so this is at the heart of the article, and this is very concerning. So now they warn that right now, countries around the world are rushing to lock in access to strategic minerals through bilateral dealings. You know, through bilateral deals signed behind closed doors. So that's what they say. Often hasty and in secrecy. Now, when contracts are signed in the dark, a citizen cannot see, you know, we cannot see the terms. Eh? We can't see the terms. What are the terms of those contracts? They cannot see what their resources were pledged for, at what price, under what conditions. So environmental protection gets treated as an afterthought. So community rights get trampled. And we have a typical example of that. Yeah? Community rights get trampled. And corruption, that old familiar ghost, walks right through the door. And Namibia, and let's be honest with ourselves, okay? As I said, we have an example. We have an exact right example of this, of what these two ladies are talking about. Now, and we had a company. You remember? A Chinese-owned firm called Xinfeng Investment. Xinfeng, you know, Xinfeng Investment. So we covered here as well, and I was able to get, who did I talk to? I talked to, by that time, was she's now the leader at the upstream, petrol upstream at the office of the minister, of the president, Cornelius Xilunga, Honorable Cornelius Xilunga. So, yeah. So, Xinfeng Investment, it was investigated for allegedly acquiring a lithium mining license at Ouz Mine in Erongo, through bribery and forgery. So, and there was arrest of Chinese nationals, caught running what the authority described as illegal mining operations. So, as I said, as we talk about that, these things, you know, we talked about the issue of Ouz Mine. You remember that when I said community right get trampled, you know, they were not consulted and all those kind of things. So there was an export ban. I think there was an export ban, an investigation by the Anti-Corruption Commission. And then remarkably, the export permit was restored while investigation was still actually ongoing, Parliament eventually, cleared the company, you know. So, yeah. But here's the question, okay? The public still deserve
Here's the question the public still deserve an answer to. Now, how did that license change hands in the first place? How did that license change hands in the first place? Who approved it? Who knew what? Who knew what? And why did it take a sting operation? Because of that, why did it take a sting operation to catch what was allegedly happening? So this is what the two ladies are talking about, you know. So where they said this, they, you know, normally those contracts are signed in dark. Citizen cannot see the terms and they cannot see what their resources were pledged for. What are the prices? What are under what conditions? So these are the things that they're highlighting. So, and these are not a hypothetical scenario from some distant country. We're not looking at some kind of hypothetical. That is Namibia. That is our lithium. That is our land in Erongo. And this year, as recently as a few weeks ago, I think, this year, civil society organization and think tank are still actually recommending that Namibia join the Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative. You know, the EITI, the other one we were arguing about the other time, so we're debating about, not arguing, but debating on that. And you remember Anonymous coming on that, you know, why can't we develop our own transparency tool? He's right in pointing out that, but, you know, global body that, as the article points out, has been setting standard for mining accountability in 55 countries over 10, 20 years now. And yet, as of the end of 2025, and remember, this was something, it's a directive within Harambe Prosperity 2, to actually be part of that. And yet, as of the end of 2025, Namibia still had not joined the EITI and had introduced no major reforms. We haven't introduced major reforms on transparency in the extractive sector. We haven't. So I'll say that again. 55 countries, including many of our African neighbors, have signed up. We have not. So why not Namibia? Why not Namibia? All right. Now here is where this now articles also offers something more than despair. It's not all despair, you know. It offers a choice, and the writer are very clear, you know, mineral wealth can be transformative. Yeah, it can be transformative. It can generate public revenues. Those public revenues can fund, you know, schools, hospitals, roads, universities. Yeah, it can diversify our economy. It can lift community out of poverty. So if, you know, it can be transformative. But we always look at that, you know, but this is the big but. We always look at that big but here. Only if we manage it right. If we manage it right, and that starts with transparency. So, and this is the biggest emphasis on that article. It starts with transparency. They say transparency is not a bureaucratic box to tick. It's not just a bureaucratic box to tick. It is not an optional. It's not something that is optional. It is the cornerstone of good governance. Citizens have a right to know. So citizens have a right to know who is mining our resources. What taxes are being paid? What are the contract terms? Where is the money going?
who owns the company doing the mining? One of the studies that we're going to look at, which is actually a front page, from the villager, it's basically looking at exactly this: who owns the companies doing the mining? So, but it's not only for the mining, but it's going, so who owns the companies, the corporate companies we have in Namibia? So the beneficiation ownership. So that's what they, this should be transparent. It is a cornerstone of good governance. And they go further. They go further. They say that women, youth, indigenous communities, you know, and affected population must have a meaningful voice in these decisions. In most cases, there's only those token consultations, you know, token consultation. They said, well, there shouldn't be there those kind of consultation, that those token consultation, and they know what they're talking about. Not public, not a public meeting held 2 weeks before the contracts are signed. Eh? So a genuine seat, what they're talking about is a genuine seat at the table. And this matter enormously in Namibia. It's really matter enormously in Namibia, where mining operations affect communities in the Erongo region, in the south, along the coast. Community that often find out about mining, about new mining, or new mining activities after the decision have been made. That happened. So these are really, really, really tangible, concrete issues that we experience here. And also, let's also be real, really be real, that Namibia has taken, you know, we also, as Namibia, as a country, taken some positive step. We have taken some positive step, especially the president Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. You remember last year, she fired her own minister last year, Ms. Aithete. You remember? So that was in a move widely described as a signal that corruption in the sector would not be tolerated. And she famously declared, Namibia's mineral belong to its people. So, and hopefully in terms of deals, in terms of how the new mining deals. And you remember, the government has also proposed, as I said, we have actually taken some positive step. So the government has also proposed a policy requiring, a policy requiring a 51% Namibian ownership in the new mining ventures. Excuse me. Well, and it's even talking about pushing that to 60 by 2030. Well, it's debatable whether that's a business. It does make business sense, or not. That's quite debatable. So yeah, but we have made some positive policy framework that we have to see how that would be implemented. So those are encouraging signal that we see from our government, but signal are not enough. As I said, policy framework are not enough. The implementation, and we know that's a disease in this country, must match the rhetoric. You know, like what we hear from our president, Namibian mineral belong to its people. That's what she declared. So now we want to see that the rhetoric, the implementation match the rhetoric. So that's what we want to see. And let me remind you with another story. And this one is really, really stink. Or just a different angle. Earlier this year, it was reported that Namibia effectively lost out on 150 billion in a potential cobalt revenue. So because 2 once promising combat project collapsed before they could even get off the ground. 150 billion gone, you know, gone, not stolen, not mismanaged, simply lost because the right deals were not structured. The right deals were not structured. The right framework were not in place. And the right investment did not materialize in time. So, and that's what poor governance cost us. And this is some of the things these two ladies are referring to. Not just corruption, but missed opportunities. Lost opportunities or lost futures. School that were never built. Hospital that were never upgraded. Young Namibians who never got the jobs, those projects could have actually created. It's a missed opportunity. So, and they also talked about that the world, it's moving fast. And the green energy transition is accelerating. The clean energy investment, in 2025 was doubled the investment in oil, exactly doubled the investment in oil and gas and coal combined. So that shows you that there's really a move in the directions. And that's also depending, that's also look where do we put our, if we don't get, you know, if we don't get that final decision the soonest possible, things might change in 5 years from now. You know, let's get that final decisions and get some oil, get some, you know, let's start producing as soon as possible because, you know, we don't know how things can change very immediately. So, and that train is actually leaving the station. The energy, the green energy transition train, it's leaving the station. So, let's make sure that, you know, this is happening. So, and let's be on it. Namibia can be on it. But only if we demand loudly and clearly that our government manage these resources with full transparency and genuine accountability. All right? So, what is your take on this? So what do you think? So give me a call. 08-333-66-091. It's Friday today. We normally, they say it's very slow in the morning, you know, so, but I trust you would come through and have your say, have your reaction and have your contribution as well. So 08-333-66-091. So, give me a call. Let's discuss.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo mirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe kupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And our time is just 3 minutes before 9, 57 minutes past the hour of 8. So, yeah, we are moving and moving very, very, very fast. Like the world is entering a new era. The world is entering a new era of resource competition. So the resource competition, the critical minerals, lithium, cobalt, graphite, copper. So are the these are the new oil now. These are the new oil. And Namibia has them. We have them. So powerful and experienced voices on the global stage are warning us. Without transparency, this new mineral rush will replicate the very injustice of the past, you know, enriching a few, leaving community behind, and saddling a government with debt, you know, and fueling corruption. So the evidence from our own backyard confirms the warning. I think the evidence from our own backyard, some of those examples I have given you confirm the warning. So fish rot showed us what happened when natural resources are managed in secret. So there's something that these two ladies are warning. The Xinfeng investment case show us how quickly shady deals can creep into our mining sector. And the cobalt story that I showed at the end showed us the brutal cost of missed opportunity. So the examples are there. The evidence are there from our own backyard that are confirming these warnings. So, and the reason why I also bring it here is just really to bring that out. So the solution are also there. The EITI exists. I remember we discussed that. We debated on that. 55 countries use it. Namibia can and should join. So open contract. In that, you have now open contract, published tax data, you know, community participation, and protection of people like us, of journalists and activists who hold a power accountable. Sometimes in some countries, you know, when, you know, we have an incident when journalists are not protected. So these are not luxuries, guys. They are the minimum standard we should demand. All right. Let's go to the caller. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, my brother. It's Friday.
It's a Friday.
The best day in Namibia, people. Like, never know, no mbuji wa mongo vime.
Okay, now it.
Yeah, I know, it is in Mangita.
Mike,
you know why Namibia is not joining
the EITI?
EITI,
yeah.
It's because they don't want to ask to know.
Yeah, transparency.
Transparency is the one who is Namibian allergic to.
Yeah.
Yeah, most Namibian allergic to transparent, and what is going on. Because the moment we know what is the value of uranium, like 1 kg, how much is per uranium? I'm telling you, and that's why most Namibia, they don't care.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what is holding the value of even like a quarter of fish.
Yeah.
How much is worth it? Instead, That's why most of them, they complain only about what, if they are not getting a big mass bangle.
Mm.
But they don't know that there's a lot of species when it comes to fish. Only mass bangle that they are complaining about and the angel. That is what Namibian mostly they know.
Yeah. So because the point you're making is that you know, information, as people say, information is power. The one who holds information has power. So
power,
if the more we are in the dark, you don't know how the contracts are, the more you won't even know what
you
to ask.
You don't care much because you know yourself. You don't know what is even the value of it. It's just like the what one former minister saying, when our resource in the ground doesn't have a value, only when it's coming out. You see that scenario.
Hmm.
But sometimes you just have to find in your ground, you know, that, hey, why this person is interesting in my way I'm living?
Yeah.
Hey, why is heavy to to put up a price of this? But myself, I don't know the value. And now he doesn't want us to negotiate 50-50.
Mm.
He said I must buy a stake of my with him in my under the soil of mine, which I don't know how much is there, but I must buy a share in his company. Coming, you see, this is a problem. I think sometimes we just have to use a logic. Oh, what the former president say, common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we need to use. Because sometimes white European kids been taught in the school about Namibia mineral. But how we are learning theory to know Berlin, to know all those continents, but we don't know what is the underground of them to learn their stones or whatever.
What is in our own underground? Yeah.
Underground. We just know to know about Hitler, Adolf Hitler, and what Stalin and what all those nonsense. But we never learn what was
during apartheid, you know.
What I have to do with about it in my life? Does it contribute to a bread which I need to buy every day when I'm hungry? Not at all. Using our own engineering robotics in Namibia.
Yeah, but these are the resources that would take you out of those, you know, that would actually be able to improve your educations and be able to have an infrastructure that would help you to have a better education, you know? And it depending now on the deals that we are making.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Imagine if we are being asked to go out for the mineral to cut the sheep to what is there. Then that will be in the quarter. If Namibia they need to wake up. You know, one thing was always troubling us in Namibia.
Yeah.
Our population is very small. And the one thing also is that mostly people are illiterate. And when you are illiterate, having a lot of illiterate people, they don't understand what is going on because
that's what Kanjengo said the other day. What Kanjengo said. We are economically illiterate, you know?
That's why. And most of them, do you think even, just imagine the whole year, a person who's working even like in ShopRite.
Yeah.
It's not even care about even just one day to buy even the newspaper, like a Friday maybe, or Monday.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. What do you care about? It's only about his salary to get the salary which he's getting, and they think it's life. No, you need information. Maybe there's something going on in your country. Opportunities coming around, but because you are, the thing is also the system which is playing in our mind.
Mm.
Yeah, and for us to rebuild is that we need the things where it's transparency have to take place, like mine, we're supposed to know how much is, we are getting in the diamond. Who's the beneficiary of the diamond? Who owned the, how many percentage Namibia having, how many, who individually having this percentage? Names, we know, just like the way was, they are hiding the information of resettlement farm.
Mm.
And it's what they are still doing when it comes to diamond, when it comes to our natural resource, is what they are busy doing there. We don't know how much is the Mongwa with. But the detail are there, and for you, to get it to hold office, you have to go and request it at what? Minister of Fisheries. Yeah. Or you want to find out how much is the diamond with, you go to the Minister of Mines. But why is it never been publicity or even a handout to like in council officer?
Yeah.
And so, you know, however, Namibia, they know.
And even for most of us, I mean, those of we are working in the media, for just to get information, you are sent to this person and to that person, and then you have to write a letter or write an email. You wait for a week before the people actually respond. By the time you know they respond, they said no, that's gone. It's no longer news or something like that. And
in my car, that's why the other time I think I have an argument of Uncle Obana talking about 39,000, and I said, no, does he know even how much the great historian asked it? Because me, I got a hold of the contract.
Yeah.
From mutual friendship. Then those, even the way I get hold it off, you have to pay like, I think it's 3,000 something a dinner.
Yeah.
Open this for 10 hectare. Not hectare, just 1 hectare.
Yeah.
We have to pay 100,000. How many of us are having 100,000 in our account?
For 1 hectare?
Hey, 1 hectare.
Jesus.
Yeah, come on, maybe you must pay. You have to how?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Where I'm going to get that money? There are so many things are cooking.
Mm.
It can be told that yes, we have the oil, but sometimes it's just the way got the water got done.
Yeah. Well,
I'm telling you, as
we said, I mean, these two ladies are they occupy the highest office in their countries, and they are saying, you know, transparency. Without transparency and accountability, you know, we will actually doing the same thing that happened with oil, with other minerals that has been extracted in our countries, and the country remain poor, the people remain poor, the community remain poor, you know. So, there are people who sometimes see that as a criticism. You know, but it's actually a way you kind of say, look, this is our resources. How do we get best out of it? You know, there is this gap. If you are going this way, there is this gap, you know, why can't you address that gap? So we're looking at, and sometimes some people will just that, okay, push that back in terms of people shouldn't know. Or this is what is happening, but it's not what is happening. You understand? You know? So, we're looking and this is what we need, where we need to be as a nation, as even a citizen, questioning, demanding, you know? Otherwise, you know, leaders will just continue as they're doing as usual, you know?
Yeah. Hmm? That's another problem with that. How can you demand something which you don't know?
Exactly.
That's all information now, and it's a pumba.
Yeah.
And it's what in Namibian, I never acquired information now, that's what we are. If we give it the information out there, everybody will wake up, and there will be a lot of questions. Why we do this? Why we have a representing Neuronium? Why we have a...
Why did you come up with a deal like this? You know, these are the loopholes in the deals, you know, and that sometimes you don't want to be exposed, you know, of your weaknesses and the mistakes that you have done.
Just wait that I'm going to go to China, I go to China on my organization now. But the thing also, when you look, some of the natural resources which you have, like I was talking about lithium, cobalt, I'm saying, why we cannot just put in one hand now we concentrate on oil, which is landing out on the 2050. Yeah. 2050, there will be no more oil, car using oil or whatever. And as a Namibian, because we have a lot of superpower, they are one who put up all those conditions and whatever.
Yeah.
But we are here trying, we are, and we are talking about the future, which, why we sometimes are not living this thing for future generations. Other countries are piling up with our diamonds, they are piling up with the uranium. For future generation, not for themselves, who are going to die tomorrow. But yeah, for us, Bana Kusa in Meshete Kukamometu. Pay me what I'm willing for the next generation.
Yeah.
Hey, that lithium is supposed to be waiting. Because even the way the whatever, the clearance was ended over and what, it was not a good manner. Who care about the next to lose their what investment that would they bring their machine? But they are doing illegal way.
Yeah.
Now our government is like a embassy. But this is not about job even. It's just people that they are going to lose. I mean, because they bring their money and what we are not able to give. Sometimes I will just say, no, we cannot go ahead because the way you are done it with, it was not in a good manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they don't support the case of lithium anymore. Otherwise, we supposed to head when they are going to the next court. Now they are quiet, nothing. You can see there are some people that sit there. That's why things are quiet like that.
All right.
Okay, my brother.
So, all right. So, thanks for coming through.
Yep, sure.
OA333-66091. We come into you live from the Ondangwa Studio. This is Eagle FM on Unpacking. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So yeah, and our president, our president has made, she has made the right noises. I would say she has made the right noise. And now we need the right actions. So that's all what we need. We need the right actions. So yeah, and let me ask you the question. Then also some question for us to debate as well. So, you know, should Namibian government, should Namibia's government be required by law to publish all mining contracts? Every single one of them. So now, maybe it's, if that becomes a law, then maybe you don't even require the EITI, you know? So should Namibia government now be required by law to publish all mining contracts, so that we know where, how much we're getting, where the money goes, everything that is in the contract, every single one. So when a foreign company now, secondly, when the foreign company comes to mine in our land, should the affected community have a legal right to say no? So you remember the story of Uis. Should the affected community have the right to say no? And maybe the conditions that are there, unless this and this and this is done, no, this mining is not go ahead. Should they have? Because in this case, local communities don't. Affected communities don't have legal right to say no. And we have seen in other countries those that community that have been affected by mining horribly. And if Namibia has not joined now the EITI by the end of 2026, what does that tell us about our government's real intentions? Yeah. So just some of the questions to think about and debate about. So these are not radical questions. So they are questions of a nation that is awake, okay, engaged, and demanding its share of its own wealth. That's how you should be looking at it. Well, this is Unpacking the Day. And remember, Namibia's mineral belong to Namibia's people. And let's make sure the deal reflect that. That's what the president said. They belong to Namibia people. And what we're looking for, is that the deals must reflect that. All right. So you may come through. Our telephone number is always 333-66-091. All right. And yeah, just maybe quickly. Yeah. So we're talking about now in terms of global context, is that the world is in a race really for critical minerals. And Namibia, we are on the radar. We are a key player in that. So can we use it to our advantage? Can we use it to our advantage? So, and the two ladies are warning us that past resources boom, you know, those flourishing, those minerals left producers nation poor. Even if there was this booming of this, you know, it left those, you know, producing nation poor, not richer. So, that resources case is always a possibility, as we have seen it from other countries. So, and we see that reality. We see that the warning that these ladies are focusing on. There's a reality within Namibia. We're talking about Xinfeng investment, you know, that Chinese company, Fishrod, you know, loss of cobalt billions, you know. So those kind of things cost us dearly. Okay? They cost us dearly. And the solution, according to these former leaders, to former president and prime minister, transparency. So it's transparency, it's EITI membership, and open contracts, community voice, you know, being consulted as well. So it should be transparency. It's non-negotiable. Transparency is the cornerstone, and without it, history repeat itself. That's the warning. All right. So if you'd like to add your voice on that, you're most welcome. 08-333-66-091. Otherwise, we will get to our second item after this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo. Ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia. Ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe. Yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma. Onoraje tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM. The eye. My friend.
All right. Welcome back. Maybe quickly, let's look at the story that actually, making, the front page in our newspaper today. Let's look at that story that makes our front page in The Villager, by Nino Menavali Hangala. Yeah. So here's the situation. Okay. So here's the situation. Back in 2023, Namibia was put on a global gray list. Okay. Just give you the background of put your context of the story. Now, essentially, the international community gave us kind of like you are given a yellow card because of our system, you know, not a red card, but a yellow card because of our system for catching financial crimes were too weak, you know, our system to catch, you know, the financial, you know, all these money laundering crooks and whatever, you know, syndicators and all that. So yeah, it was very weak, yeah, too weak. Now, to fix this, now the government changed about 13 laws. Okay? There were 13 laws that the government have to change. One of the biggest change involved now BIPA. Okay? So one of the biggest change now involves BIPA, the Business and Intellectual Property Authority. So they now require, so the what involves BIPA is that they now require every single registered company to declare their beneficial owners. Okay? So that means telling the state exactly who is pulling the string and pocketing the profit. So that's one of now this one that was involving the beneficial owners. It was involving now BIPA. So, but as of the end, now according to the article now, as of the end of 2025, the report card is in. And my dear listener, it is not passing grade. So we haven't passed. It's not a passing grade. All right. So, yeah. So let's look at the number. As I always said, the number never lies. Okay. The number always tell the truth. So just learn how to, you know, to understand the number. Yeah? So if you understand the number, and I'm asking you, learn to understand the number. It's going to save your life, or save your career. All right. So now we have over 242,000 registered entities in this country. So, but only 45%, only 45.3% of them have come clean about who actually owns them. All right? Only that, not even a half, you know, who have come clean, clean about who actually owns them. Now, the reason why I'm actually smiling is, I'm asking the question. The question I have in mind, are you one of them? But I'm looking at myself, but I'm also one of those who haven't, you know, come out clean and, you know, and do this. Now, okay. That's beside the point. But we make that, so we are the one, we make those, the statistics. So now it's also better. This is actually better compared to, it's better than the 33% we saw in 2024. So, but it means more than half of the business in Namibia are still operating in the shadow. So of course, if you haven't come out and actually, you know, provide those information, you're still actually operating in the shadow. The government doesn't know who owns, you know, who are benefiting from your enterprising. So now, and I want you to think about like this, you know, if you are, let's say for example, I don't know whether this work, if you are playing a football match, you want to know who is on the other team, right? So you don't want to play against a ghost. So before the game, and that's why before the game, they an hour or so, they have a lineup. You know who is actually playing on the other side. Now in business, when we don't know who owns a company, I don't know whether the scenario worked. It opens the door for things like a fish rod type of scandal that really hurt our people. So this has the
this is the purpose, the reason behind this whole, you know, this whole thing. Now, BIPA is making it clear. So it's making it clear. And please make sure that you subscribe the Villager for you now to have access to the articles and stories that's coming your way every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So you should have subscribed and be able to have access to this incredible, you know, economic news, business and economic news. Make sure that you subscribe. All what you need to do is just send your WhatsApp message to 081-241-44. What you need to just say subscribe, you give your name and your email. All right. So that, you know, you receive this right in the palm of your hand or right on your computer. So yeah. Now the BIPA is making it clear. So this is not just admin. Okay. It's not just admin. This is about whether. So when we're looking at now this is about whether now the world can trust us. If we don't fix this, Namibia stay on the gray list. You understand? We stay on the gray list. And when we are on the gray list, you know what happened? There are certain things, you know, that it's costly in some ways if you are on the gray list. So it is harder for you to send money abroad. Because there's always now extra papers that you need to fill, and they sell always, you know, a long, you know, process, because you are not trusted. Harder for investors also to bring in money because they think the process they have to go through, and everything gets more expensive. So those are things that we need to worry about, when we're talking about. But the other thing is also what is interesting is that BIPA noticed a surge in a new registration. Okay. There are now a little bit of surge in a new registration, over 13,000 new business just last year. So that's quite a lot. So new business just last year that have been registered. So, but now they think that a lot of this is coming from our youth, the 20 and to 34 years old. Okay. And that's a good thing. That's really great. And we want our young people, you know, to be their own bosses. All right. So, and we continue this after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikire ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu werirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una oviu nevya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva owa peresente dano komyeve vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo komyeve hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Pomiedhe omurongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangitha jinon.
Alright, welcome back. And so our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah, I will be with you. We are on this journey until 10 o'clock where I will hand you over, you know, to another journey, that you should be on. Okay. When it's from 10 o'clock as well. So now, yeah, let's come back. So the insurgency in the new registration, BIPA feels that it's because of tenderpreneur factor, the tenderpreneur factors. So they notice that many people are only formalizing their business so that they can bid, you know, for government tenders. So yeah, they want the contract, but the question maybe, are they ready? and they're ready for the responsibility. So, yeah, it seems many are rushing to get their paper in order, to get the tender money. So this is what also the BIPA have noticed. So, but they are also, I think they are skipping the part where they have to be transparent about who is actually, you know, benefiting. And this is this whole exercise is all about. So maybe the question is why hesitating? Why so many business owners are hesitating to, you know, to actually show who are beneficiaries? Who are the beneficiaries? So, yeah, why is compliance so slow or low? Why the compliance is very low? Is it because the process is too complicated? Many things that we do in Namibia, maybe for good, maybe it's good, maybe it's not. Paper processes are so tedious and discouraging. They put you off. You know, the things that you need to go through paper-wise, just to get service. It's really daunting. Yeah. Or maybe the people are simply unaware of the law. And that's, we don't, for so many people that have entities, that own entities, they might not even aware of the law. Because we don't educate, we don't use platform, and you know, you see what? And sometimes we ask people to come here, and we ask them to come here, and you have to beg them to give information to people, those information that are needed to actually bring improvement, you know? But we have to beg them. You have to run after them of things that they should be doing. Maybe people simply unaware of the law. Yeah? Yeah, and I remember reaching out on this, and you know, we didn't have people available, and you always, you know, yeah, unaware. And where do they provide the information? Sometime on, you know, who check their website? Who check normally? Sometimes, you know, it takes years and years to find something on a government or parastatal institution and parastatals, you know, government parastatals. So, or is this, it could be also, we can also then, you know, about people, maybe people intentionally hiding because they don't want the taxmen or the republic to know where the money is going. So, like what Mantima was saying, maybe, yeah, it's done deliberately. Yeah, maybe these people are doing deliberately. Yeah, but I'm not doing deliberately. Just paperwork and time possibly. You know, BIPA claims they are trying to modernize and making things easier. But if we don't reach a higher percentage soon, remember, if we don't reach the higher percentage soon, our national market assurance is at risk. Is at risk. We can't, you know, and we can't claim to be open for business. That we say we are open for business, and we can't claim that if we are keeping secret about who the businessmen actually are. Yeah. So we're keeping secrets with the big men. So we are not open for business. Yeah. So in a nutshell, the 45% gap, there's that 45% gap, less than half of Namibian companies are following the law on the ownership transparency. and the transparency that we are talking about earlier on. So we should be, we're encouraged to do that. So, and the government set up now the platform to be able to do that. So let's do that. So our national economy is also at risk of staying in the international doghouse. You know the doghouse, the gray list, on the gray list. That's a doghouse. If we don't improve these numbers, we need to improve these numbers to get out of the doghouse. So, yeah, the youth the number of the youth have registered have increased. Our young people are driving new business registration. So, which is a sign of hope. Definitely is a sign of hope if they lead, but if they lead with transparency. Yeah, that's a very important point to make. So no more shortcuts. There's no more shortcut. BIPA is no longer processing new business without this ownership information. So the era of ghost companies is officially coming to an end. Yeah, so, and the big question, are you? Are you part of the 45 who are playing by the rules? Are you part of the 45% who are playing by the rules, or are you part of the 55 still hiding in the dark? I'm part of the 55. I'm not proud of that, but I'm part of the 55. And what is stopping you from declaring? I'm not going to answer that question for you. So what is stopping you from declaring? All right, so you're most welcome to air your opinion, to react to the story, and also make sure that you follow up the story by subscribing to The Villager. That's the only way you can have access to this stories, business and economics articles. So make sure you subscribe. 08, now you can... the subscription, it's a WhatsApp. You just send a WhatsApp message, to 081-241-44. So just give your name and your email address. Let's say subscribe. So, and, voila, you are done. All right. So 08333-66091, that's a number to get to me in the studio if you want to have your opinion or share your opinion or your reaction on the two stories that we covered so far. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And that's right. Make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app. If you're in an area where there's the frequency, tell, because
you probably have somebody who's saying, oh, no, I can't hear Eagle FM. Tell your brother, your friends. Ah, please, man, just be download the app. Download the app and you'll be connected to Eagle FM. So make sure that you tell your friend, you tell your family, you tell your coworkers, download the Eagle FM app. You will be definitely not missing any show, of your choice. So welcome back. Welcome back. We were just looking at the 45% of, companies that are following the law, of, ownership transparency. And, and if you have, that story is in today's, it's the front page, making the front page of the Villagers. So, and do subscribe to the Villager. All right. So, yeah, that's our second story, for the day. And our time is about 42 minutes, past the hour of, 9. All right. So let's move on. And this one is interesting because, the next one is very interesting because, we covered, I think 2 days ago. Remember, the government has announced what it calls, Vision April, 2026. You know, Vision April 2026. Remember talking about that 2 days ago, I think, if I remember, we just discussed that, 2 days ago. So, it's a bold plan to redirect all public service employees, medical aid scheme members, and that is our civil servants, to use public health facilities instead of private ones. So now the first phase kicks in on April the 1st this year, starting with the top government officials and politician, government official and political leaders. So the idea, you know, as I always, and as I was saying, the idea sounds noble on paper, bring the decision maker into the same healthcare system, that serves 85% of our populations. So thanks for joining us. Now, force the leaders. The whole thing is that it forced the leaders to experience what the ordinary Namibian experience every day. So the logic is very simple. You know, if public hospitals are good enough for cuckoo in the village, if it's good enough for a cuckoo in the village, they should be good enough for the executive director in Windhoek. You know? So it is when you look at that deep, really, really, really deep. Okay. You're probably looking at it in terms of affordability. But if we're looking at it from national resource and how we share that resource, it's kind of like, okay, the people that are more vulnerable, we should be the one who actually are better, you know, who needing more health care, we actually them give them less. And the people who don't need health care, who are not largely vulnerable, we give them everything. We give them much better care than the one that needing it more. How screwed is that? So, but now today, we have the story actually take a turn. Okay. This is where we want to go, not into that part. So, but the story have taken a turn. A group called the Namibian, Private Practitioner Forum, you know, Private Practitioner Forum has come forward with some serious, serious, serious questions. They represent doctors and healthcare professionals in the private sector. And they are essentially saying, hold on. Are we actually ready for these? Are we actually ready for these?
There is a concern on the table. There is a concern on the table. Now, I want you to imagine something with me. All right? And this is really, really important. Imagine you are a civil servant. You could be the one we're talking about. You're a civil servant who has been going to private doctor for years. You are used to certain standard, certain waiting times, certain services. Now, come April the 1st, you are told to report to Katutura in the intermediate hospital, or to Oshakati intermediate hospital instead. Okay? Now you have to go to those instead. So what do you expect? What is that you? What do you expect? And what are you walking into? You know, what are you walking into? Now, the doctor forum is asking exactly this. They're asking exactly this. Their concern is about, it's about money. Specifically transparency around money. And today I'm on to transparency, you know? You can, all the articles that we're looking at today, it's more about transparency. Okay, if you notice. Yeah. Now, the health minister mentioned that the Siemens has a budget of about 3.9 billion Namibian dollar. That's a lot of money flowing into the private sector right now. But here's what now we don't know, okay? Now, here's what we do not know. What is the actual purchasing power of that money? Now, I will explain. What can it actually buy in terms of healthcare services? The reasons why we're looking at that question is because SEMA has been reimbursing doctors and hospital at 2014 rates. The rate, it's from 2014. Now, yes, well, you heard me right. It's from 2014 rates. Now, that is 12 years ago. So that's 12 years ago. Now, the price of bread, fuel, rent, everything has gone up since 2014. So, but medical aid rates have stayed frozen in time. It has stayed frozen in time. Now, private doctors have been now absorbing, you know, the private doctor has been absorbing the difference. Sometimes with the help from, you know, that gap cover insurance product. So, but when you move everyone to the state facilities, how will those costs be handled? Now, this is what they're asking. How is those costs will be handled? What tariff structures will apply? Will the government pay the 2014 rates? Because remember now, the private doctor were absorbing the difference. So will be there a new framework? These are the questions that the doctors, the private doctors are asking. Now, the doctors forum says no one has shown them the numbers. No one has shown them the number. No one has explained how billing will work. No one has clarified what coding system will be used to process claims. And if you are a patient, this actually matter. It does matter. Because if the administrative and financial architecture is not in place, if that is not in place, what happened when you need care? So will treatment be delayed because someone is still figuring out how the bill will be, you know, how that will bill, how, you know, figuring out how to bill for it? So you will be now, you're getting the service should be delayed for you because someone is still figuring out how this can be, how is this going to be billed out? Now, and this brings me now to my first question for you, you know, my dear listeners. Have you
or any in your family, not even maybe a friend or whoever, ever had a medical bill rejected or delayed because of administrative issues? I'm asking that, and because I want you to imagine this, how did that feel first? But how long did it take that to get resolved? Now, I want you to now imagine that happening on a national scale. At once, on a national scale at once, come April the 1st. So, because according to, you know, to the doctors forum is looking at if administrative and financial architecture is not in place, you're more likely actually to experience that. And that could happen nationwide, national, on a national scale. Okay, let me tell you another part of this story. Now, the health minister has announced that over 2,000 new posts have been created. About 1,262 have already been filled. All right? That sounds impressive. Okay? It sounds impressive. And well, we have some doctors and nurses and health professional who got a job, right? That's impressive, okay? More doctors, more nurses, more hands on the deck, all right? So, but the doctor forum is asking a very reasonable follow-up question. What kind of posts are these? Now, you might say, well, you just said they are doctors and nurses, all right? Let me paint you a picture. Okay, let me paint you a picture. Say you are a civil servant who needs to see a cardiologist. Okay? You need to see a cardiologist. Now, you go to Windhoek Central Hospital. Is there a cardiologist available? Do you remember when we talked about there was a survey of a specialist there was a survey done about how many specialists we have, especially when it comes to medical health, to medical profession, all those listed, you know, different, field. So now you used to go to a specialist who's on private. Now, say you are a civil servant now who need to see a cardiologist. So does the Windhoek Central Hospital have a cardiologist? How many are they that are available to all the seven hospitals that has been listed? How many cardiologists are there in public system? So what are the waiting times for a specialist appointment? Let's say, for example, because now maybe you don't have them. You have to wait for a week for an appointment with a specialist. So the ministry has not published these details. And this is what the doctors are saying. We know posts have been filled, but we do not know if they are the right posts in the right places. So if you have a cardiologist in Windhoek, what about in Oshakati? What about in Rundu? What about in Kirtmansrop? So now think about it in this way, okay? If you announce that you have hired 1,000 new staff members, but you do not tell us how many are specialists versus the general practitioners, or which regions have they been deployed to? Can we really assess whether the system is ready? So those are the questions that this forum is asking. If you are a senior official in Windhoek, you know, and you might be fine. So if you're in Windhoek, you might be fine, but what about someone in a smaller town? What about the person in Gobabis, in Chivarongo? And here's my second question for you. Now, if you were suddenly required to use a public health facility starting tomorrow, okay, let's say you're starting tomorrow using the, you know, first, April 1st is just coming up. Would you know where to go? Would you know where to go? Would you know what services are available? Would you feel confident about the quality of care you would receive? Those are serious questions. Now, when I was reading this, something caught my attention as I was reading through this. Now, the Doctor Forum says there has been a lack of structure engagement with private healthcare professionals. Now, wait a minute. We are talking about a massive reform here that will affect how hundreds of thousands of people access healthcare. And the very professional who have been treating these patients for years, the doctors who understand their medical histories, the specialists who know what services are needed, they are saying nobody has been talked to us about this, about how this will work. Wow. I think that raises a fundamental question about how we make policy in the country, in this country. When you are planning something this big, something, or maybe they're thinking, all right, we are taking, you know, their client, we're taking clients from them, so they shouldn't be part of it. Well, maybe that's the reason. But when you're planning something this big, something that affects people's health and lives, shouldn't you maybe not bring everyone to the table? Shouldn't you not bring everyone to the table? Shouldn't you not sit down with the doctors, the specialists, the allied health professionals, and ask them, what do we need to make this work? What are the pitfalls? What are the missings? What is missing? What are we missing? So the forum has said, they are ready to engage constructively. They support the goal of strengthening public healthcare. They are not against the reform. They just want, to make sure the transition does not actually harm patients in the process. So that's what they're asking. Is that too much to ask? That's what they're asking. So now, I wanted to step back and look at the bigger picture here. So there is something undeniably powerful about the philosophy behind Vision April 2026. Okay? There is, you know, so the idea that our leaders should experience the same healthcare system as the ordinary Namibian is compelling. I think it's compelling. It creates accountability. It creates incentives, you know? It creates some incentive. If a minister of health has to use Windhoek Central Hospital, you better believe me. You better believe there will be pressure to fix what is broken. There will be pressure. And to be honest, our public healthcare system has been crying out for attention and for attention for years, and long queues, medicine shortages, and aging equipment. So it's about time. So the majority of Namibians have no choice but to use this system every single day. Now, if Vision April 2026 forces the government to finally invest properly, that could be transformative. So it could be transformative. But there is a tension. There is a tension. Now, the tension, the noble goal, do not automatically translate into practical success. So that's why, you know, we hear from the doctors. Now, you can have the best intention in the world. Maybe that's what the government did. You can have the best intention in the world. But if you rush implementation without proper planning, without transparency, without engaging stakeholder, you're actually risking creating chaos. And in a nutshell, this is what this forum is talking about. It's what, well, are we ready?
And in healthcare, chaos does not just mean inconvenience. In health, chaos doesn't mean inconvenience. It means people are not getting the care they need when they need it. And that is dangerous. So the ministry says, it says phase one will target only senior leaders initially. 7 facilities have been identified as ready. Well, according to the ministry, as ready according to the ministry. You know, patient flow management system are being designed to reduce waiting times for officials. Now, that sounds organized, but Dr. Forum is asking, where is the documentation? Where is the tariff framework? Where is evidence that the administrative machinery is actually in place? And my third question to you, that maybe you're going to discuss, you know, do you believe the government when it says it is ready? Do you believe it? Or do you share the concern raised by the doctors? Now, it is possible to support the vision. I think we all support the vision while still asking the hard question about, definitely about implementations. So, yeah, that's all we have for you this morning. That's all we had for you this Friday morning. So let me hand you over to another capable hand in the person of Shashike. No, I was looking for another name that I forgot that I wanted to mention. So let me leave you in the hands of Mbarangaja, Tate France, is coming up with Kuthamosha. From me, it's a goodbye for now, but we still have a time to meet tomorrow around 11 to 1 o'clock. So book that time for Mind Matters. So have a great weekend. Don't do what I wouldn't do. But if you happen to do that, you know, what I wouldn't do, just when you're doing it, just name it after me. All right? Name it after me. All right. And as David always said, don't touch other people's people. All right? As David always say, don't touch other people's people. All right. From me, Mike Machiavelli, have a great weekend and let's see each other tomorrow again. Goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha, utekirwa kaguna, I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na